You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, what a special morning. There's something incredible. I don't know, I just get all, you know. Well, ask my wife, you know, it doesn't take much for me to get teary, but there's something very special about babies. Incredible. You know, all your dreams are wrapped up in your babies. You realise that? I think of mine and, you know, you just think, oh, wow, what's God going to do? Oh, so exciting. And, you know, so I want to honour you today, that incredible family. Awesome. Wonderful God. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be reading from, well, let's just say a very interesting passage that God has, I guess, laid it on my heart for many, many weeks now. And I just felt for to share it with you this morning. And it's in Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. And we're going to be reading the first six verses, 1 to 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1 through 6. And it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, the word nativity just simply means the circumstances of your birth, if you look it up in the Strong's. So as for the circumstances of your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. And just as importantly, Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, I pray that your anointing would rest in this place, rest on us today. I thank you, God, that as we open your word up today, I pray and ask, Lord, that the words that come from my mouth would be yours and yours alone. That you would guide me, that you would help me, Lord, to expound this your word today. I thank you for every person in this place. We thank you that you are Lord, that your Son came and died an incredible death, but rose again to victory, and we stand in that victory today. And we thank you for that this morning, in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said, Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Born for More. Born for More. Now, this is an incredible prophet, the prophet Ezekiel. And I guess over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, when God laid this passage on my heart, I thought, I really need to look at the whole book to get the context. And when you look into Ezekiel, it's such an interesting book, because God reveals so much to the prophet Ezekiel. And a lot of it is about chastising his people, the children of Israel, in many ways. But it comes out of a heart of concern for where they were at and the challenges. But it's an incredible book, because in that book, there's many, many prophecies. You may remember the one in Ezekiel chapter 36, and God is prophesying through Ezekiel to the nation, and he says these words in verses 26 to 27. He says, I will place a new heart within them. I will place a new spirit within them. And then he goes on to say, and I will place my spirit within them. And he's prophesying. So that's the heart of God for his people. He wants a people that love him, that want to serve him. So this all comes out of Ezekiel. And of course, Ezekiel 37 is the one, the valley of the dry bones, where he declares to Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And we know the story. It all comes to life. It's an incredible, he is an incredible prophet. But in amongst that, this little gem sits. And I look at it and I wonder. And as I heard it while I was going to work, you know, you got nothing else to do, so you may as well plug in and listen to some preaching. I mean, some word. So, and this came across, and it just rose, it just brought this question to me, and I want to propose the question to you today. Why has God gone into so much detail to describe the abomination of Jerusalem, his people Israel? And what is it? What is it there that we can learn from this particular text? I'm glad you asked. Could it be that the baby has passed from one world into another? For the womb is a world. In fact, it is the only influence that baby has for 9 months. It is an incredible world for 9 months. It is the only environment the baby knows. It has been conditioned to live within the complexity of that world. Incredible God. And for 9 months, it is the baby's only source of nourishment, comfort, and protection. And when the baby is born, it passes from that world into this world. You see, you can't be present in this world and be in that world. You can only be in one or the other. If you are present here, then you are absent here in the world. The world is waiting for you. If you're absent here, you're present in the world. It dies when it passes. It dies to this world. The very thing that nourishes and cares for and has protected that baby for 9 months, now, when it passes into this world, no longer will sustain it. The very thing that gave it life in here, out here, is like death to it. There is no sustenance. It is just afterbirth. The bloody placenta, the membrane, all that stuff. It is the proof, positive, that the mission is complete. It is finished. It is done. It's done with. It has done its work. And yet we see in this passage, an incredible passage, where God is declaring and saying to Ezekiel, declare this over my people. And it goes to incredible lengths to explain that the baby has not had the cord cut. I mean, what a blatant picture of debauchery. It's an incredible picture. Have a look at it sometime when you get a chance. But it's an incredible picture. And I want that to rest on you today. I want you to see the enormity of what God has done for us today. That when we come out clean, we come out God, you know, God's plan for us, that we've been born for more. Amen. You see, childbirth is traumatic. I used to have a bit of fun with Kim when the kids were born. I said, man, it is traumatic, especially for the husband. Obviously, that's not true. Childbirth is traumatic for the mum and the baby. They've got to sink their energies at that time so the baby can come out. I mean, it is hard work. It is hard work. It is not something that you can passively do. I mean, you can't read the paper and have a baby. You can't read the... You can't do your nails and have a baby. You can't get your hair done and have a baby. It is going to require every ounce of focus. It is work. Any wonder they call it labor, because the mum and the baby are absolutely tired at the end of it. And the bubby comes out beautiful. Well, let's be honest. They are bruised. They are battered. One of my children had the reddest feet. I was, whoa. I'm not going to tell you who, but she's beautiful now. So you have this baby, the picture, this passage says, and it is covered in afterbirth. It's covered. And it's a natural assumption for us to think that the baby should be washed. Should be washed. Because you don't want the residue of your past when you enter into your future. You don't want any, you don't want it on you. I mean, that was for here. That was fine here. But for you and I over here, we don't want it. You've got to get it off. You've got to wash it off. You've got to clean yourself up. Amen? That was for over there. You don't want your today to be contaminated by yesterday's behavior. We want God, amen? Yeah. I know the heart of this church. We desire the things of God. I desire the things of God. What a great exhortation this morning. I was teary. It was awesome. Just to, you know, it was just incredible. It's been an incredible day so far. The baby dedication is just, God is so good, amen? You see, the dilemma I've seen in church is that the focus has been on numbers rather than truth. And we have, to a degree, we've allowed people to be born into the kingdom and still allowed to live a worldly life. Now, I know that's not a popular message, but that's a message that has resonated with me, because God desires a church that is holy and without blemish. That is you and I. All the stuff that is around us. And God is getting to his people. He wants his people to see the enormity of the abomination. He wants them to see how he desires them to live. You see, they were still tied to their past. It wasn't even cut. So, that's what I saw in this picture. Still tied to their past. How many of us, me included, in this Christian walk, we can so easily be tied to the things of the past? God wants us to cut us free. Amanda spoke about God extending our borders. You know, the tents of our area. It will begin there. It's time, church. 2017, January, the year you make all your resolutions. I made one. I'm not telling you what it is. But anyway, I made one. That way you don't know whether I've broken it or not. But we make resolutions. I know this is the heart of Pastor Ted, because I just know, and Pastor Amanda, and the team, Pastor Jan, and Pastor Trev, is to see a church so hungry for the things of God, that the things of this world will, as the Bible says, grow strangely dim. They have no influence over us. And the more that happens, the more influence we will have in this region. Amen? I'm speaking to you too, bro. You and Susie, the more you commit, which you are, the more you give yourself, God will open it up for you. That whole area, that synergy. You know, that was never your thought. God placed that thought there. So keep pressing in. But it starts here. It starts in this house. How we serve, how we honor God, how we honor the people that God has placed before us, our leaders. All those things, very important. It's time to clean up, amen? Turn the person beside you and say, I'm not sure if he's talking to you today. Turn the person on the other side and say, it must be the other person. Isn't it interesting? When Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, like God led them out, 3 million plus people out of Egypt, and they're heading on their way. They're excited for a season, really excited. And then when pressure came on, what did they do? They looked back. They were still tied to Egypt. Fancy being tied to leeks. That's all they could see, what we used to have back there. Church, it's time to cut those things off. It's time for us to begin to focus again. Use 2017 to refocus. Use 2017 to say, God, I'm here. I am yours. Use me. Amen. If it's the sound, well, I don't know how to do it, but I'll be used. I'll be trained. Give me the opportunity, whether it's music, sound, whatever it is, whether it's ushering, serving in the cafe, incredible places to serve God in this place. And we've made opportunity for each and every one to be able to serve, because that's where the true blessing is. Amen. God wants to bless you. So it's time to get rid of those things. Maybe there are things in your life that God wants to cut off. And only you can identify that. Only you. There's three indictments found in that passage on the parents in that text, which is very interesting. Three issues that God has with the people. And it's found in verse 4. And he says this, he says, I noticed this when I read it. He wasn't talking to the baby. He wasn't saying, baby, you should have washed yourself. You should have cleansed yourself. No, it says, no man washed you. No man cleansed you. Number one, no man washed you or cleansed you. To be cleaned. Someone to come alongside, to encourage, to stand with, to help in those times. We all need help. We have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. But how many know, obviously, that is the best help. But sometimes you do need some flesh. You need somebody who can come alongside. And I believe that is what God was saying to them. They've left There's no one there to wash and to cleanse you. Number one. Number two, no one salted you. No one salted you. Salt was used in the Old Testament or in the old days and may still well be used. It was used for healing. They would rub salt into the bubby where the bruising and you know, that where after childbirth. So they would use salt for healing. I mean, I'm not asking for hands, but how many need healing? Sometimes the hurts and the stuff that we've been through, sometimes even it's just hard to receive healing. And yet God is saying, He wants us to see the importance of being healed. Come before God today. Get those things cut from your life today. Receive healing today. No one salted you. Third point is this. No one swaddled you. Swaddled. I thought it was only me who made up words. But that is actually a word. Swaddling. Swaddling cloths. No one covered you. No one wrapped you. The interesting thing about swaddling cloth is this. In those days, what they would use the cloth for, the swaddling cloth, was actually to filter milk or milk rags. They actually called them milk rags. But they would use it to filter milk. When the cow had its milk, you'd run it through this milk rags. And they would, that's how they would clean the milk. And the Bible says, I think it's interesting, swaddling cloth. We know that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloth. Interesting, the milk of the word, wrapped in the word, the milk of milk. It's incredible. And I saw this. No one swaddled you. Nobody came alongside you. You know, there's times where I wish I had somebody who would have covered me through times. No one covered you. No one came alongside you. No one, and I mean not just to come alongside you with the word. Someone who can guide you, the word of the milk of the word. Someone to guide, someone to cover you, someone to help you through. No one swaddled you. If we are to be born for more, then there needs to be less of us and more of God. At some point, we have to deal with stuff in our lives. Anger. That's like afterbirth. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to deal with it. Maybe it's pride. You've got to get rid of it. Unforgiveness is a massive one. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to deal with it. Allow somebody to come alongside you. Allow somebody to stand with you as you get healing. Come around someone who's wise in the word. I tell you, this place is full of people that are wise in the word. Get people alongside you. We must decrease and allow God to increase in our life. Born for more, church. Get ready, as Pastor Amanda said. God is stretching us. I feel it already. I just sense it, not just in the spirit, I'm beginning to see it in the natural. God is about to do incredible things in this place. Be ready. Be ready. And we get ready by being in the word. Amen. It's interesting. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6, it says, God said, live. He said, live. That even though this picture was quite a graphic picture, I don't know about you or whether you've, you know, allowed it to mull over your thinking, but have a look at it. I just sense God wants us to see the enormity of the situation that's before us and the amazing blessing that will come as we decrease and allow God to increase in our lives. God said, live. John 3:30 says that he must increase, but I must decrease. Worship is all about that. When we worship, it's all about lifting him up. Even to the point where you don't even see whoever's up here. It's about him. It's about reaching him. It begins there, a heart of worship. Just as we close, I just want to read Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 7 through 14. I'll just read it to you quickly. So these are the preceding verses from the ones from the text this morning. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. Oil is symbolic, not only of the Holy Spirit, but of healing. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour. Boy, there isn't a lot of work for us to do, is there? Just sit there and feast. God is doing the work. We've just got to make ourselves available. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. It's all on you. That's how God sees you this morning. If you'll allow God to deal with hurts, if you'll purpose in your heart today to say, today is the day. I'm going to get that cut off. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to begin to empty myself. Take myself out, self-pride out of the way. I'm here to serve God. I'm here to love God. It's all new. The Word of God is all new. We are sons and heirs, and we're not servants. That's what it says in Galatians 4:7. We have a new authority delegated to the church from God. We have new power, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, the Holy Ghost power. We have a new temple, which is our body, the new high priest, which is Christ. All new, church. This is us. A new priesthood of believers, it says. New sacrifices. Christ suffered only once, never again. Our sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise, obedience, and doing good, it says in Hebrews 13:16. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. New promises, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:4. New inheritance, it says in Colossians 1:12. New hope, new knowledge, new wisdom, God's wisdom, new possibilities, a new home, the Bible says, of the household of God. That is us. New friend, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, the one who's always there for us. New blessings, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings, new relationship with Abba Father. Abba Father, the curtain has been rent. From top to bottom, we now have access into the throne. It's all new. A new covenant has been cut, Hebrews 8, verse 8 says. A new commandment, the commandment to love. It's all new. It's all yours. It's all mine today. If you believe, if you're a believer today, then that has been made available to you. There's new responsibilities as well, which we'll get to share with you some other time. But if you find yourself in this place, I'm just going to pray just really quickly. Pastor Jan, if I can. I just want to pray for you. Let's just close our eyes, if you would. I find closing your eyes is sort of like a point of surrender, number one. And number two, it also gives you, you know, it's almost like some privacy. And I just want to ask today that you would honor those around you, and if you could just keep your eyes closed, that'd be great. But if you're here today and God's been speaking to you and you can identify that there are some areas in my life that I really need to get dealt with today, I need to get some closure on today, I want dealt with today, then I want you to just raise your hand quickly. Not to me. Just raise it quickly and drop it down. Just raise it quickly and drop it down if that's you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is your time with God today. It's your time. If there's any others, please do so just before I pray. I see many, many hands. And that's great. That's great. God wants to do an incredible work in your life today, church. Maybe you're in this place this morning. I just feel compelled to ask. But maybe you're in this place this morning and you've never actually made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you. Maybe you were invited by someone, but you know that you've never done that before. And I don't know whether it's the same for you, but for me, when that happened, when the call came out, my heart, my chest cavity was like pounding, because I knew God was speaking to me. And as it's like in our culture, you know, this pride just stopped me. Anyway, that's another story, but today, I want to give you that opportunity, if that's you, and you've never asked Jesus into your heart today. The Bible says that He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. But He's a gentleman. He'll never push His way in. He wants a response from you. He wants you to reach out to Him. If that's you this morning, then I want you to just quickly, just to raise your hand, drop it down quickly. You're not responding to me, you're responding to God. Anyone like that this morning? If you'll do that quickly, just before I pray. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you know you need to do that today. I want to pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. We thank you. First and foremost, for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for you moving in the hearts of your people today. Thank you for that today. And Lord, I pray for all those who have responded to your word. God, I pray that you would move in their hearts, even at this moment as we pray, that you would move in the name of Jesus over their lives, that you will begin to impact their hearts in the name of Jesus. Bring healing, bring wholeness, bring restoration. bring hope, bring joy, bring peace. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.